L. Matthews, a Los Angeles attorney, has applied for a license to operate the Gas House, favorite meeting place of the beatniks in Venice. The hearing is being held before the Board of Police Commissioners in the police building. The Venice Civic Union, headed by President A.S. Roberts, opposes the license. Eric Nord, self-styled Big Daddy of the Beatniks, says of Roberts, "Man, he really bugs me." At today's hearing, Mrs. Robert Swan of 9 Market Street is the principal witness. She says the noise is so great from the gas house, nearby residents have to use earplugs to get any sleep. She says they pound the bongos in the basement, and the noise is carried by underground gutters to the streets. She also testifies to immoral actions on the streets outside. A small girl running from the gas house crying, "I'm afraid," and a woman pounding on the gas house door screaming, "Let me in or I'll break a window. I want my man." A voice inside, according to Mrs. Swan, says, "He can't come out. He ain't able." Mrs. Swan concludes, "It isn't any fun sleeping with earplugs." L. Matthews, who's represented by A.L. Wirren, leases the gas house for the beatniks, says he's trying to establish a new cultural center. He's also leased a hotel not far away where the beatniks can pad down.
These sessions are being held to decide whether or not a Venice beatnik hangout should be given an entertainment permit. Today's atmosphere was also invaded by the beatniks' interpretation of art. Rather than leave it at home, they brought it along, possibly to compare it with the creations already enhancing the police building downtown. And after we get a look at some of the attire worn there, we'll also get a look at some of the fascinating pictures of art, pictures of pictures, pictures of garbage cans, and to the crowd that was not hep down there. All of this didn't make too much sense. Possibly the same feeling was held by the hearing authorities because it was adjourned, this meeting, for several days. And from the looks of things today, the police building itself should have been licensed for entertainment.
The outstanding local reporter, Pat Michaels, brought to you tonight by Mark C. Bloom, the nation's largest volume tire distributor, where you buy the world's finest name brand tires, 2 for the price of 1. And Tom Harmon, one of America's foremost sports authorities. Now, Mr. Roberts.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. These are the top stories at this hour. Most Western observers tonight are calling Red China's intrusion or invasion of India a political blunder. President Eisenhower continues his series of Cold War talks tomorrow after spending tonight in Queen Elizabeth's Scottish castle. The big Senate battle is now expected over the fate of the tough administration-backed labor reform bill. I'll round out these stories after this message. One of those most strongly opposed to the permit was Mrs. Robert Swan, who manages an apartment house near the controversial gas house. Mrs. Swan said she kept notes on disturbances occurring at the Beatnik hangout, and she read some of these into the record. She said that on July 15th, she saw an 11 or 12-year-old girl running out of the establishment screaming, "I'm afraid." And Mrs. Swan also said she heard one gas house patron say of another, "He's a good Joe. He laid sulfa tablets and 2 goofballs on the table." The hearings are due to continue on Monday.
This is Lou Irwin on my special report tonight. The philosopher of the Beat Generation says that the hip squares and not the beatniks are causing Venice citizens so much distress.
The all-new paper-made holiday pen writes again and again and again. Guaranteed not to skip whatever you do. Got the jumbo Texas refill, too. And that means big, son.
Let's put the all-new Papermate Holiday through the famous butter test. There's the smear of butter. First, we'll take an ordinary pen. See it skip over the butter? Now, the all-new Papermate Holiday. See? Guaranteed not to skip. And if it won't skip over butter, it won't skip over handprints, grease spots, anything. And look what's inside the new Papermate Holiday, the Jumbo Texas Refill.
And that means big, son.
So get the all-new Papermate Holiday, just $1.79 at stores everywhere.
The all-new Papermate Holiday pen writes again and again, again and again.
Get your holiday pen by Papermate today at your nearby thrifty drugstore. Channel 7, Los Angeles. Now from KABC-TV News Center, the news of today in L.A., plus a special story behind today's news. Lou Irwin reports. brought to you by new Instant Maxwell House, the coffee brewed from beans still warm from roasting. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Tonight, bus strike delayed another 2 weeks. Lincoln sculptor, lamb base supervisor Hahn. Plus my special story, Beatnik spokesman blames hip squares for the Battle of Venice West. No bus strike before September 10th. This decision came late today from Judge Charles Thompson, the jurist hearing arguments from the Metropolitan Transit Authority and the Brotherhood of Railroad Trainmen. The judge continued a temporary restraining order for 2 weeks, but he refused to issue an anti-strike injunction. More news after this word from new Instant Maxwell House Coffee.
Hi, this is Rex Marshall. Say, has this ever happened to you? You're out of Instant Maxwell House. Just when you were really looking forward to a fresh, delicious cup of coffee. Well, why run out? Because now, the coffee brewed from beans still warm from roasting comes in a new giant size. This is the Big Ten. 10 ounces of the freshest tasting coffee you can buy. You get dozens and dozens of extra cups, and every one of them will give you all of the fresh, new Flavor Bud flavor of coffee brewed from beans still warm from roasting. Something else, too. When you buy new Instant Maxwell House by the Giant, you'll save money. So why run out? Buy Instant Maxwell House by the Giant, and you won't have to run out again. Look for the Big Ten on the label, the new Giant Size Instant Maxwell House.
No doubt about it, new Instant Maxwell House is the freshest tasting coffee you can buy. The furor over Honest Abe, over the bronze bust of Lincoln sculpted and donated to the county courthouse by Dr. Emil Seelitz. A new bust of Lincoln replaced the doctor's bust in the courthouse today. And the doctor ripped off a blistering letter to Supervisor Kenneth Hahn, who spurred the removal of the Seelitz bust on grounds that the doctor often was called as a witness in the courthouse and there might be a conflict of interest involved. Seelitz said Hahn had insulted him, and he suggested an apology was in order. Requiem Mass will be celebrated at St. Viviana's Cathedral on Monday for attorney William V. O'Connor, who died yesterday from a heart attack. Governor Pat Brown and other state and local officials will attend. History of sorts at the Federal Building today in the Office of Immigration and the courtroom of Judge Leon Yankwich. A total of 231 persons became U.S. citizens, the largest day's turnout this year. Among them, a Javanese princess, Leah Gohyar, and UCLA math professor Chen Chang, about to take the oath from Judge Yankwich. At San Francisco, there was this somewhat dazed reaction from Gene Fulmer tonight following his TKO defeat of Carmen Basilio for the NBA version of the middleweight title. The bout was stopped 39 seconds into the 14th round. At Memorial Coliseum, a crowd of 66,000 saw the San Francisco Giants pick up another game on Los Angeles, 5-0. Sunny tomorrow, near 86, as the weatherman, light eye irritation from smog. I'll have my special story after this word from new Instant Maxwell House Coffee.
Oh, I'm out of coffee.
Not again. But why keep running out? Now there's new Giant Size Instant Maxwell House. And in every giant-sized jar, you get dozens and dozens of extra cups of the coffee that's brewed from beans still warm from roasting. You get 10 full ounces of the coffee that's actually percolated for you right in Maxwell House's own coffee kitchens. Freshly brewed coffee, from which new Instant Maxwell House has created a new kind of flavor buds. Fresher, the very essence of the percolated coffee itself. You just can't get fresher tasting coffee than the new Instant Maxwell House. And now you can buy it by the Giant, which means you can buy more fresh coffee brewed from beans still warm from roasting. Save money, too. New Instant Maxwell House. You won't have to run out again when you buy it by the Giant.
Next time you go to your grocer's, reach for the new Instant Maxwell House. It's the freshest tasting coffee you can buy. The battle of the gas house between the Beatnik Bohemians and the Nudnik property owners continued at the police building today. The property owners reemphasized their point that the Beatniks were merely degenerates bringing disgrace to the community of Venice. The gas house, erected as a meeting place for the Beat Generation, is only a dive, they claim, despite the fancy, unintelligible paintings on the sidewalks. They insist the place attracts only alcoholics, homosexuals, prostitutes, and dope addicts. And what goes on inside is disgraceful. Children drinking liquor, adults making torrid love. The gas house, they claimed, is far more than merely a gallery of mysterious modern art. Today, some of the artwork from the gas house was transported downtown to the police building and placed in the hallway to be introduced as evidence and be inspected by passersby. American Civil Liberties Union attorney A.L. Wirren, representing the Beats, took profuse notes of testimony from property owners who repeated claims that the Beats were not bringing art but only immorality to their community. In the foyer, spectators gathered to watch me interview Beatnik philosopher Lawrence Lipton about the testimony so far.
These are my people. Have you ever seen the Jack Parr show?
Parr is far better than watching Parr. He was obviously enjoying the whole show. I asked him, was there in fact immorality in Venice that the property owners had charged?
Yes, there is. I should say that every day in the week I pass bars and dives, as they call them, on Windward Avenue. I see, I remember one time somebody described Windward Avenue as the most disgraceful street in Los Angeles. I don't say that I like these things, because sometimes they bump into you, sometimes they're apt to be even disagreeable, but I would not condemn them in the manner in which Philistines usually condemn such people. My philosophy of life has always been to stand with the accused, guilty or not guilty.
Yesterday, the hearing revealed that a witness, young Michael Kelly, was intimidated in the hallway by a Beatnik fan. Was this the proper way for a Beatnik to act?
There's an old saying, you know, God save us from our friends. I don't condone the intimidation of witnesses or even calling names against witnesses. It's probably intended, it's a kind of good intentions that misfired. I don't know the party who did this, and implication that he was one of my friends or that I knew him is completely wrong. In fact, I reprimanded him for it in my own way. I said to him, don't think you were doing me a favor. And I would say that to anybody who spoke disrespectfully to a witness for either side.
But wasn't he a beatnik, or at least a part-time beatnik?
No, he's no beatnik. What I heard about him later, they told me about him. He's a kind of a hip square who hangs around beat circles and tries to dig the scene. The hip square is probably the most troublesome person we have in our experience. Much more troublesome than the square is, because he poses as a beatnik and brings the discredit upon us for that reason.
Do you think that perhaps these people who pose as beatniks are the ones who are causing you the most trouble with the people
in
Venice?
I think so, yes. In fact, most of the people mentioned in the hearing are people who are hip squares. I've said so publicly. I have rejected them. I have forbidden them to use my name, so has Mr. Matthews, and so has Mr. Nord, but we can't follow them everywhere they go, and it is true that the hip square is embarrassing to us.
But was Lipton embarrassed by anything he had heard at the hearings about his holy barbarians? Apparently, there was nothing that disturbed him one bit.
I haven't heard anything referred to that I would say is testimony about the truth. I've heard hearsay. I've heard people talk about promiscuous kissing. I've heard people talk about pawing, boys and girls pawing each other. I've lived in the Venice area since 1941, what would be nearly 18 years now, wouldn't it be? 19 years. And I have seen young couples pawing each other. I have seen kissing going on during all these years. I've heard about, and in some cases I have seen, people living together outside of marriage. I have seen black people and white people, young and old, promenade or make love on the benches. This has been going on ever since I can remember in Venice, and I'm not at all sure that it's evil, you see. I'm not as censorious about it as some people are.
And Lipton suggested the Beat Generation is being discriminated against by officials.
Rooms or nightclubs or country clubs to the same kind of close scrutiny and said, you may not have an entertainment license because the people who come around to your places, it could be any country club, we don't like their love ways, we don't like their philosophy of life, we don't like their sex life, we don't like their attitude towards marriage, towards religion, toward God, toward home, toward country. Who would be able to get an entertainment license?
Yesterday, one witness after another testified that he had seen drinking at the gas house. One even saw teenagers drinking. What about these charges, I asked Lipton.
I myself have not seen any drinking by juveniles. I don't know if any such incidents occurred. Of course, people went in and out pretty freely when the doors were open and there was no admission charge. So I don't know what occurred there. I will have testimony to this on this and other points when I testify, and I would not like to anticipate my testimony before the hearing.
Lipton will probably be the first witness when the police commission hearing resumes on Tuesday. There seems little doubt that the gas house will be licensed. It obviously is little more than a clubhouse for artists. But the citizens of Venice might still protest the influx of so-called beatniks with vigor. I use the phrase so-called as Lipton himself might. A few weeks ago, Lipton, without hesitation, told me that the beatnik population of Venice had grown to 3,000 since his book, The Holy Barbarians, was released. Today, not even Lipton is sure just who is a beatnik and who is merely a hip square. He would not even estimate the beat population of Venice when I asked him to do so again today. Lipton now suggests that most of the beats are merely philosophical painters. His artistic evidence will be exhibited to prove that next week. But in his book, he says that 99 out of 100 beatniks are not artists. Who are they, then? What do they do? Is Lipton attracting more hip squares than protesting thinkers? Is the gas house to be a beatnik shrine or a mecca for misfits? Those are questions that the beatnik philosophers will have to answer, not the police commission.
Ladies and gentlemen, Russia announced tonight it will refrain from testing any so-called nuclear weapons as long as the West will do likewise. Both the United States and Great Britain have extended the present ban on nuclear testing to the end of this year. There have been no atomic tests, or at least none that the West has detected, since Russia exploded a weapon the 3rd of last November. Well, U.S. diplomats tonight see a joker, however, in today's Moscow announcement, since France now apparently intends to test its first atomic bomb within the next several weeks in the Sahara Desert.
Let's get the picture story as seen by a British television reporter, Richard Dimbleby of the BBC.
And here, the procession of cars. Unusual to see the American flag flying high on a royal car, the Queen's own car with no number plates, flying the American flag. Her Majesty walks forward with Princess Margaret. Commands are given. Here to cheers the car.
From Balmoral Castle, the President goes tomorrow to Chequers, the country home of British prime ministers. He'll spend the weekend there as guest of Prime Minister Macmillan. They'll have much to talk about, primarily about Soviet Premier Khrushchev's coming visit to the United States. Another subject that's almost sure to crop up is a new threat of war in Asia, the incursion of Chinese communist troops across India's borders. It has not been officially described as an invasion yet, but Premier Nehru is obviously disturbed about red aggression, and some observers believe India may move away from its jealous neutrality and lean toward the West. A court ruling on whether metropolitan bus and streetcar operators can legally strike has been postponed until September 17th. A restraining order remains in effect. Funeral services were held today for slain USC co-ed Linda Martin as the search for her killer continued. 36 persons attended the funeral, among them Robert Kinsey, in whose apartment she was slain. Chris Albert, convicted last week of attempting to hire the murder of his invalid wife, has been sued for divorce. Mrs. Albert wants an accounting of an estimated $100,000 in community property and custody of two teenage daughters. The blow-up involving the beatniks of Venice was aired for a second day before a police commission board. At stake is a requested entertainment license for Beatnik Hangout, the Gas House. Apartment house manager Robert Swan told why he dislikes the Beats.
One of the beatniks come to our bedroom window on the Ocean Walk side and yelled some obscene language into our window at 1:45 in the morning.
What would you identify this obscene language with?
Well, it was more of a mumble-jumble language. I think the man was intoxicated, and there was nothing that was really audible, but it was enough to scare a man out of bed anyhow.
Another protester, Mrs. Gerhard Casto, told of a sign posted at the Gas House.
This sign says, "This is only half of it, so that the world may know. This studio is being used for the purpose of private research in the field of permissive and forbidden conduct. Signed, Al Matthews." I don't understand it, but I guess it's all right.
For the other side of the picture, I went behind the beard of Civil Liberties Union attorney A.L. Wirin. He's not a beatnik, but is sympathetic to their plight.
I have listened with a great deal of interest to the witnesses which have appeared in opposition to the granting of this application. I am satisfied they are all sincere and decent and upright persons and Americans. On the other hand, I have the feeling that they do not realize that it is important in our country to tolerate political opinions, social views, and art forms which are not necessarily those which are currently accepted.
Then the comment of pigtail beatnik Julie Meredith, composer and folk singer.
Well, I'm sure if they knew us better, they wouldn't be like this. It's as if they're saying they're strange and different from us. They wear sandals and beards, and we don't like them, without much reason.
I'll have more news in 1 minute after this message from Tidewater.
Finally, a gasoline burns clean. New Flying A 100 Plus. It burns clean, and here's the difference it makes. Inside your engine, when other gasolines do not burn clean, they leave deposits that pile up and cause engine trouble. Power and mileage are cut down. Unburned fuel is sent out the exhaust into the air. This, authorities say, can be a major cause of air pollution. But new Flying A is different because of huge advances in refining equipment. Flying A takes out gasoline impurities. Your engine stays clean, runs smooth, pays off in peak power and better mileage. And because new Flying A burns clean, it also helps reduce air pollution. So get the gasoline that burns clean. New Flying A 100 Plus.
There's little change ahead in the weekend weather picture. Night and morning clouds near the coast, mostly sunny afternoons. High tomorrow in Los Angeles, near 86 degrees. Light eye irritation from smog in the inland valleys and foothill areas. Ed Fleming reporting for Tidewater and vacationing Bill Stout. And that's the Southland scene tonight.
Further testimony is heard in the Gas House entertainment license at an establishment known as the Beatnik Headquarters in Venice. Attorney Al Matthews, who arranged the lease for the Gas House, says he hopes to see it become a new center of culture. Residents of the area protest giving the Gas House a permit to operate because they say the only thing emanating from that building is noise, the blare of the jukebox, and the sound of bongo drums. Hearing examiner Thomas Mulhern hears testimony by an officer who observed known narcotics addicts in the gas house. He arrested three youths a half block from the gas house who said they had just left the hangout. Another officer, K.A. South, says he was in the area opening night, but he says the crowd was orderly.
The Beatnik defense took the stand late today after listening to irate Venice West citizens lambaste for 3 days the request for an entertainment license at the gas house, the playroom of Venice Beats. The police commission was presented a petition bearing more than 2,200 property owner signatures supporting the gas house. Among the signers, composer Igor Stravinsky, comedian Stan Laurel, former Ramstar Ron Water. Tomorrow, gas house manager Eric Nord and Beatnik angel Al Matthews are to testify. A word now from new Instant Maxwell House coffee.
Oh, I'm out of coffee.
Not again. But why keep running out? Now there's new giant size Instant Maxwell House. And in every giant size jar, you get dozens and dozens of extra cups of the coffee that's brewed from beans still warm from roasting. You get 10 full ounces of the coffee that's actually percolated for you right in Maxwell House's own coffee kitchens. Freshly brewed coffee, from which new Instant Maxwell House has created a new kind of flavor buds. Fresher, the very essence of the percolated coffee itself. You just can't get fresher tasting coffee than the new Instant Maxwell House. And now you can buy it by the giant, which means you can buy more fresh coffee brewed from beans still warm from roasting. Save money, too. New Instant Maxwell House. You won't have to run out again when you buy it by the giant.
No doubt about it, new Instant Maxwell House is the freshest tasting coffee you can buy. It's getting difficult to tell the VFW from the American Legion. The Los Angeles Convention of the VFW today adopted a resolution calling for support of the House Un-American Activities Committee. And the VFW also went on record against the recent invitation by the International Olympic Committee to Red China to take part in the upcoming Olympic Games.
Attorney Al Matthews, owner of the gas house, says it's become known as the 86 Club among so-called squares because so many have been thrown out of it for drunkenness. He says the doors are open to peaceable people, that when he learns there's a narcotics addict there, he's asked to leave. In further testimony, Matthew says he's closed the basement when an officer told him he thought marijuana smoking was going on there. The Venice Civic Union opposes the license for the gas house, and the residents in the area claim only noise comes from the Beatnik hangout.
Fourth day of hearings conducted by the police commission on the subject of the new Beatnik hangout. Hearing officers were invited to visit the gas house and inspect it for themselves to prove Al Matthews isn't biased. He was supported by the man on the left, the attorney A.L. Wirin of the American Civil Liberties Union, whose presence down there has been criticized by other Venetians. Matthews took the stand and stated when he saw Venice, it was one of the most beautiful spots on earth, and he brought in some of its art to prove it.
Opponents of the entertainment license for the Venice Coffee House have been calling it a joint and a hangout for degenerates. Well, attorney Al Matthews referred to it as a cultural center. And while he admitted he couldn't question every customer about his private habits, he contended that we'd have to close all of the churches if we wanted to exclude those without sin. Confessing, too, that bongo beating bothers him as well as the neighbors, he said he could not ask the beatniks to stop their noise entirely because of their argument that bongo beating is a way to release antagonism. Beatniks mean no harm to no one, said he. They all live up to their slogan, which is, thou shalt not bug thy neighbor. Jimmy McHugh, on his 35th anniversary as a composer of popular tunes, was honored today by the city council. Councilman Lemoyne Blanchard presented the songwriter with a resolution calling attention to Jimmy McHugh Night, Saturday at the Hollywood Bowl.
They are asking for an entertainment license for a gas house in Venice. After the session went on for some length, the beatniks walked out, charging the police examiner disqualified himself. Art worshippers was the description given for these Veniceites in the testimony of Lawrence Lipton. He's the author of The Holy Barbarians, which has been called the Beatnik Bible. Attorney A.L. Wearing told hearing officer Thomas Mulhern that he had made too many statements concerning his personal opinion of the beatniks. It all came to an end when Wearing said he would appeal to the full police commission for a ruling in the matter.
The Beatnik delegation stomped out after Attorney A.L. Wirin of the American Civil Liberties Union assailed hearing officer Thomas H. Mulherin over what Wirin termed too much personal opinion on the part of the officer. The stormy session came to a head over the poetry reading of Beatnik kingpin Lawrence Lipton. Mulherin had turned thumbs down on Lipton's attempt, backed by Attorney Wirin, to read a poem titled A Funky Blues for All Squares, Creeps, and Cornballs. Lipton managed to squeeze in two lines of the ditty dedicated to the Venice Civic Union. That's Lipton in the cap. It went like this. This is one line of it. Their arms are knives and their fingers all nails. Mulherin refused to allow a continuance of the recitation before the police commission. The Beatniks are seeking an entertainment license in Venice.
They charged hearing officer Thomas Mulherin had made statements of prejudice. Attorney A.L. Wirin of the American Civil Liberties Union explains the Beatnik position.
During the course of the hearing examiner made a statement, the effect of which was that he doubted whether or not Mr. Lawrence Lipton, who was a witness in the witness stand, knew the meaning of morality. Before that, the hearing officer had suggested that Mr. Lipton, a well-known author, that Mr. Lipton was not a responsible person. We felt accordingly that the hearing officer was prejudiced and would not render a fair hearing, a fair ruling. Accordingly, we are going to apply immediately to the police commission to disqualify the hearing examiner.
A Venice resident protested loudly about art which beatniks had brought to the hearing, saying it should not be exhibited in the hallway.
What was this police building built for? Was it built as a place for public exhibition of art, or was it built here for hearing and the proper things? I think that art, I am not against art, but I think it has its proper place of exhibition in the police department, and this building is definitely not the place. The hearing is now adjourned, and I think that this should be taken home.
What's your name?
Mr. Gooden. Mr. Willis O. Gooden. I live at 25 Avenue 37 in Venice. I am a property owner in Venice. However, I want you to understand this is not a biased opinion. This is just what I believe is right. I don't believe that any art display such as this should be in a public building, especially since the hearing is now closed.
But the matter was not closed. Poet and author Larry Lipton, contending that only one side had been presented at the hearing, gave us his views in poetry.
A poem in protest against the lockout of poets, painters, and musicians from the gas house in Venice West. Upbeat, downbeat, offbeat, heartbeat. Bury it in the time capsule. Blast it into orbit around Venus, our queen of love. Honored on every launching pad of Venice West. Look down, Walt Whitman. I wear my hat as I please, indoors or outdoors. Yop it from the housetops of heaven. Gauguin, great soul, holy barbarian of Tahiti, fling us a handful of love. Ride it, Carl Sandburg, stockyards cowboy. Ride herd on the real estate mix of Venice. Rachel Lindsay, remember the bongo congo beat. Up there in heaven with General Booth. Get out your riot guns, citizens. Call out the militia. The poets are coming. Sound all the atomic sirens. The painters are making holy vessels out of the garbage cans of Venice West. I hear America singing. Bam, roll on with Bam. Genie with the light brown hair, can do. For the man who thinks for himself, why trade a headache for an upset stomach? Aloha, dos vidanio, au revoir, goodbye. Later, man, later.
In reply from the squares, only silence. Cool silence.
Arthur Lawrence Lipton, who wrote the book The Holy Barbarians, was on the stand today in defense of the gas house and all it stands for, defending the beatniks against previous testimony of civic leaders in Venice who have shuddered at the publicity their community is getting. In fact, the new issue of Time magazine refers to Venice as a shabby little Los Angeles beach community, the regular inhabitants of which, Time says, are howling in protest almost loud enough to drown out the thump of the bongo drums. As I started to say, Lipton was on the stand. He was stopped by the police commission examiner from reading into the record his poem entitled A Funky Blues for All Squares, Creeps, and Cornballs. He wanted the examiner to hear for himself the poem that had been described in earlier testimony as filthy, but he was stopped, whereupon Lipton, followed by the beatnik's attorneys, walked out of the hearing, denouncing the commission examiner, Tom Mulheron, as prejudiced and biased and demanding that a new examiner be appointed. Earlier in the day's proceedings, Arthur Lipton, in the witness chair, defined a beatnik in the following words.
The beatniks I have seen at the gas house associated with, that I have seen on the platform offering entertainment, painting pictures, singing songs, making music. These people are people who, one, are dedicated to the practice of the arts on a non-commercial basis. They will not perform any kind of artwork solely for money unless they will perform any work of art as long as they have complete freedom of expression. Complete freedom of expression. I will give you an example of it out of my own experience, for I too have a beatnik. Let's see now. This is only one of three points I'd like to make if the examiner... I'll try to make them as brief as I can, but after one has spent years in the study of a subject and knows its ramifications, Mr. Examiner, it is not always easy to give it in one sentence. Another characteristic of the beatnik is that he desires to live his own life in his own way, according to his own standards, as long as they do not injure other people mentally or physically, as long as they do not violate the law, as long as they do not as long as they do not impose upon him an obligation which he has not assumed in a world, as he puts it, that he never made. This is another characteristic of the beatnik. And the third and perhaps the most important one is that he worships the arts and does not belong to the usual organizations and institutions which make our mores and our canons of respectability. He looks to the artist for a way of life rather than to the politician, to the preacher, or to the pedant.
That was author Lawrence Lipton's definition of a beatnik. The regular inhabitants of Venice have had other ideas on the subject and have expressed them in previous testimony, bringing into question not only their unconventional attire, but their alleged unconventional standards and behavior, to say nothing of the noise from the bongo drums and the jukebox in the gas house. Lipton testified today that if the gas house were given an entertainment license, he would be in charge of the presentations to be offered the public in the gas house, displays of artworks, recitations of poetry, renditions of music of all forms, and so forth and so forth. As to what goes on in the gas house now, Lipton said of his own knowledge, the following subjects have been quietly discussed.
Philosophy, very frequently Buddhism, and sometimes primitive Christianity, mysticism. We sometimes discussed literature, poetry, books, We sat at tables and talked. Some of this talking or just sitting consists of just such conversation. It has been testified to on this stand that people were seen just sitting. Now, this is might have been me, you see, and therefore I want to explain what I was doing. Sometimes we played chess. Sometimes we read poems to one another and criticized these poems by way of the camaraderie of poets and people who love poetry. Sometimes I watch painters painting. I'm interested in painting. I've written about painting. There's a chapter on it in my book.
Were these painters habitués?
These painters were habitués, yes.
All right.
They came there, they painted their pictures there, or they brought pictures and hung them there. I saw others there. I saw people who were singers, and they sang folk songs. Old American folk songs, English folk songs, and folk songs of many lands. And they accompanied themselves on guitar, usually. I saw people come there who were interested in drama and discussed with me and with others putting on dramatic performances and dance performances. This was the activity that went on at these tables in the gas house when I was there, and this is what I saw there. Now, I also saw people who were not beatniks there also come around very frequently. Let it not, I do not want to leave the commission with the impression that only beatniks are habitués of the gas house. Squares came around in great numbers.
Well,
they love square. A square I can define as a person, a square. A square is a person who is a conformist with the ways and of society, its institutions, does not question them, and does not subscribe to the way of life of a beatnik.
Well, what happens next before the Los Angeles Police Commission remains to be seen, but the beatniks are still insisting that one of their fundamental precepts is, "Thou shalt not bug thy neighbor." It can only be suggested that those on both sides of the roaring dispute are probably becoming more bugged than ever.